really been through the history of our country. They are forced into the limelight or come there willingly, but they're at pivotal moments to stand for something, to stand for truth. Jerome Corsi, of course, for years, he's been writing WorldNet Daily, wrote for InfoWars for a while. He has been out there pushing the truth and now finds himself right in the middle of one of the biggest political stories of the year, certainly the Mueller investigation. The crosshairs are on him. He's come to join us to talk about his new book, among some other things. We're very happy to welcome Jerome Corsi. Welcome back to the Power Hour.
Dan, it's great to be back with you. Thank you very much.
Your new book, Silent No More, How I Became a Political Prisoner of Mueller's Witch Hunt. Now, it's available in ebook right now on Amazon if people want to get it. But the hard copy, a little hard copy, they're going to have to wait a couple months. Let me just ask you a couple questions. This is kind of me personally. Did you ever think that you would be right in the dead center of such a political story? I mean, did you ever dream of this?
Never, never. Yeah, all the Russian collusion comes down to Jerome Corsi. No, I never imagined it in my life.
Jerome Corsi, the whole center of the whole government conspiracy. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, right here. What does how's your family taking this? I know it can't be easy.
It's not easy. I think, it kind of destroys the family. Got a very strong wife, and she said to me, woke up, the plea deal, we decided to reject the plea deal, which was a lie. It was a criminal plea, a criminal would structure a plea deal. So we rejected it. My wife woke up one morning, and she said, I'd rather visit you in prison than have you not be the man I married. And I'm 72 years old. Yeah, I mean, she's my Abigail Adams. We've been married 27 years.
Wow, that is fantastic. Hats off to your wife. Let me ask you this. This may be a difficult question for you to answer at this point. Like I tell most people, why did you ever talk to the FBI in the first place? Why did you say anything to them?
Well, I had nothing to hide. I offered them my computers. I brought in my laptops. I gave them my cell phone willingly. I let them see my email accounts. I gave username, password. I had done nothing wrong. Done absolutely nothing wrong. Never had in my life. I'm 72 years old. I've never committed a crime. Don't have much of a parking ticket. So I went in thinking it was going to be an honest investigation. And I could help them.
In hindsight, do you wish you would have just basically not said anything?
I don't know that I could have done that, and I think I had to, in my conscience, I had to go in and, by nature, I'm going to be, I had an attorney, but, I couldn't give them what they wanted, so they blew up. I mean, they had a narrative, and they wanted me to connect Roger Stone to Julian Assange, but I don't know Julian Assange. I've never communicated with him or anybody who is connected with him, so... Well, I could give Mueller's prosecutors what they wanted. They blew it up.
Did you get to meet Mueller personally? Did he ask you questions personally or just some of his underlings?
No, there were three of the prosecutors. The lead was Jeannie Ree, who is works in the same law firm as Mueller, and she is a Hillary Clinton lawyer from the email cases and from the Clinton Foundation. And she did a lot of the questioning. And Aaron Zelinsky, who is a prosecutor under Rod Rosenstein, he's younger, he's a very, very arrogant guy. But there were three of the special prosecutors' team and up to six FBI in this closed room, no windows. We're being interrogated for hours on end, 40 hours over six sessions. But Mueller himself never showed up.
Wow. Now, you said you were not able to give them what they wanted. Obviously, you're getting a sense of kind of what they want. What was that sense? What did you feel as they're basically torturing you almost? What sense did you get?
Well, they wanted. I wrote some emails in July and August 2016. We were in Italy. I had my 25th wedding anniversary with my wife and family, and I pretty well at that time figured out that Assange had the desk of emails, and it was going to release in October. So the special prosecutor, I'm sure, had wiretaps, electronic surveillance on me, which I'm also objecting to. I felt I had to have a contact with the Sandra, would have known that. But the truth is, I just figured it out, and I can't connect. You know, they want to go Roger Stone, Jerry Corsi, Assange, and then Roger Stone talks to Bannon, and Bannon talks Trump, and now they've got their collusion with Assange. I just can't help them, and that, you know, blew up a key part of their case, so they blew me up. But they're going to prosecute me for this bad memory.
I saw an interview, I think it was somebody from CBS, I can't remember the name, but basically this lady was saying, well, didn't you want to know what Julian Assange had? And you replied, well, everybody wanted to know what Julian Assange had. Explain that a little bit.
Well, I mean, in July 2016, July 22nd, Assange dropped 40,000 emails on Debbie Wasserman Schultz. These were emails to the Democratic National Committee. He said he had more. Well, anybody interested in politics said, okay, what's he got? And think, you know, that was going to be the big issue. And, of course, I wanted to know. Everybody I knew wanted to know who's involved in politics. It was the question of the day. What else has Assange got other than these 40,000 emails he just dropped on Debbie Wasserman Schultz? What's next?
Well, so my question would be, so what if you knew Julian Assange? So what if you helped get him the email? I mean, so what? I guess they're trying to make a saying that Trump released these emails. The question to me would be, are these emails legitimate or are they not? That's the question to me. But so what if you knew Julian Assange?
Well, that's the irony of it. It would not have been a crime. I mean, I did my doctoral dissertation at Harvard in 1972 on the Pentagon Papers case, and even Julian Assange could have had those emails and published them as a journalist without committing a crime, provided he didn't steal them. And I certainly didn't steal them. I could have gone over and seen Julian Assange. It's just that I didn't. I didn't know Julian Assange, and quite frankly, I didn't see any point in doing it, although I was willing to send other people to see Julian Assange, or if they wanted to go, or if my boss had given me an airplane ticket, I would have flown over there myself to London. But I didn't do it.
Somebody
gave me an airplane ticket.
Do you have a sense of Julian Assange or I mean, if you're going to make a list of the top 10 most talked about people politically over the last two or three years, Julian Assange is certainly up there. Do you have a sense of him or what he's doing or what he's carrying? What's your feeling there?
Well, only from watching him and studying him from a distance. I mean, I think he's very shrewd with the media. He certainly knows, you know, what he has in terms of stolen material and how to use it to maximum effect. And I figured in July and August, when I figured that he had Assange had Podesta's emails, that was going to be the atomic bomb on Hillary, and he would save them until October, the October surprise. And in fact, that's what Assange did. Of course, the Mueller and team thought I had to have some kind of pre-knowledge of what he was going to do, when in fact I can't accept that I just figured it out.
You just use common sense, your years of experience, your expertise, and your intelligence. You say, wow, this makes sense to me. And they say, oh, this can't be right. You're using common sense.
Right.
Book.
Yes.
Silent No More, How I Became a Political Prisoner of Mueller's Witch Hunt. Pretty powerful title. Why did you write the book? What are people going to learn from this? What will surprise them?
Well, it's a first-hand account. I was writing it as I went through this 2 months of this inquisition, day by day, how you feel. I mean, the first day they threatened to put me in prison the rest of my life. You know, they play this memory trap. If you can't remember emails, I can't remember my 2016 emails or phone calls with any precision. I just can't remember them. I'm 72 years old. You know, and so this game they're playing, I want you to see what it feels like. You know, they hate you because, you know, I say Jesus Christ is my Savior. They hate that. Now, they hate that I support Donald Trump. And, you know, they criticize my book through the process of this. These people are this intolerant group criminalizing politics. Mueller is coming after you if you're a Christian or believe in the Constitution or believe in Donald Trump. They're coming after you next. I want everybody to see what this feels like. It's not America. This is the KGB or the Gestapo.
Well, you just raised a really big question, and I don't know if our audience, I don't know if I can understand what you just said, how big of what you just said. They came after you because they needed you, they thought they could lean on you, and now they're going to use this same mechanism now against us. How, I mean, help us understand that. This sounds like Hitler, a wet dream of Hitler's.
Well, I mean, look at Hillary's deplorable, so... You don't like, you're xenophobe, or you oppose the LGBT agenda, or something else of the hard left. The thought police, they're just waiting for it. The thought police will be named Son of Mueller.
How is this legitimate at all? How is Mueller's investigation legitimate at all? How is it being allowed to stand? Is it that corrupt within our government?
As far as I'm concerned, it's totally corrupt. I filed a criminal complaint against Mueller with the acting Attorney General Whitaker. I don't know if he's just another deep state actor. And I filed a $350 million lawsuit in federal courts in Washington, D.C. against Mueller and against the NSA and CIA for illegal surveillance of me for years and for leaking information for the Mueller grand jury. And on the lawsuit in Washington, Judge Leon, a U.S. District Judge, has scheduled a hearing on January 3rd. I'm going to be there on the $350 million lawsuit they just filed against Mueller.
So this is about rights violations, and help us understand what you're claiming here. They've been surveilling you for years illegally against the Constitution. This is all rights violation? Explain that.
Rights violation and criminal violation leaking to the grand jury. We have emails. My attorney got them in a FOIA request showing that the press secretary for Mueller is meeting in a French pastry shop in Washington, D.C. on Pennsylvania Avenue with L.A. Times reporters, Del Wilbur in particular, and leaking information on the grand jury. And I think that's totally illegal.
My word.
I'm arguing it's criminal property. The way that Mueller is conducting this operation is criminal in nature and violating people's rights like mine. Left and right.
I'm so glad that you're standing up on this. There's the music. We have one more segment on the other side, a short one. Jerome Corsi, you can get his new book on Amazon, wherever, and you also donate to his legal fund. This isn't cheap to do this, ladies and gentlemen. CorsiNation.com, CorsiNation.com. Stay tuned. Jerome Corsi on the other side. CorsiNation.com, CorsiNation.com is where you can donate. And, you know, Jerome needs our help. And he needs some help to do this and to fight this. This is how you stop these people. That's how you handle a bully? Well, you got to punch him right in the nose, and that's what Jerome's standing for himself. And hats off to him and to his great wife. Thank you so much, Jerome. Your new book, Silent No More, How I Became a Political Prisoner of Mueller's Witch Hunt, is available now, the e-book, anyway, at Amazon, the hard book in a couple months. His last book, Killing the Deep State, we discussed that last time he was on. Jerome, we just have four minutes or so. What you have went through, it's probably a microcosm, maybe what Trump has dealt with, the administration. What's your sense of Trump right now, how he's dealing with everything?
Well, I think he's doing as best that he can. I mean, I've always said about Donald Trump that he always looks like he's going to lose until just before he wins. I mean, look at what they said in the election. No path to get the nomination. Well, he got the nomination. He had no path to win the Electoral College. He won the Electoral College. Well, now they're saying they're going to impeach him. I'm saying Donald Trump is going to win. He's going to turn the tables on Mueller.
Now, you know, we've talked about the Fed is, you know, I don't know what they're doing, but they're being counterproductive to a growing economy or to jump-starting economy. The Fed, you got border security. What do you think the most important political issue is right now for his administration?
Well, they're all important. I mean, I think cleaning up the Justice Department, what you'll see when you read Silent No More, and if you study my case and why I'm rejecting their fraudulent plea deal, I've done nothing wrong, is that the Justice Department is in the hands of hard left, deep state, political criminals. We don't have justice in this country. If you're Hillary Clinton, or you do anything you want, you're on a criminal foundation. But if you're Donald Trump, they can close your foundation down. the justice system in America, you can't have a country that's free if you're having the Gestapo or the KGB with a hard left agenda running it, because today they'll come after me, tomorrow they'll come after you, if you believe in Jesus Christ or anything else that's against their agenda. You can do fine as long as you don't object to them. But the minute you say, wait a minute, I want border security, you may be talking to the thought police named Mueller before long, who, by the way, will have tapped your phone.
Yeah, and then arrest you for not remembering what you said 2 years ago. Yeah,
that's right.
You said hard left criminals in the Justice Department. That is a chilling statement. How would Trump or whoever, how would you even begin to uproot this disease fungus that's grown on our republic?
Well, you're going to have to do fundamental changes at the Department of Justice. First of all, these criminals like Peter Strozek and others who fraudulently use this FISA process to electronically wiretap a political candidate, a Russian hoax, which doesn't exist, they need to be prosecuted. And then, secondly, you've got to make sure that the Justice Department gets back to solving crimes. I mean, I think we need term limits on the bureaucracy. I don't think people should be allowed to be in the bureaucracy more than 6 years or so, and then they need to find a job in the private sector. They become politically entrenched, the bureaucracy, and they get their own agenda. Their own agenda these days happens to be very hard leftist.
What you're saying is very negative towards our republic, towards the Constitution, towards who we are, the Declaration of Independence, our natural God-endowed rights. How hopeful should we be? I mean, where are we in this fight? Should we be pressing the panic button? How bad is it really?
Well, these hard left don't believe in God, so they're not going to believe in God endowed right, I guarantee you. But what I say is, just like I say, is Donald Trump always looks like he's going to lose until he wins. I continually remind myself of my faith that in the end, God always wins. And that's what keeps me going. In the end, God always wins.
Oh, that's powerful. From what you know of Donald Trump, you personally know him, does he share a similar view of God and our rights and the Declaration and the heritage of this country?
Yeah, and I can't say I know Donald Trump deeply. I mean, I've, over the years in New York City, you know, had him as a casual acquaintance. And I would say Donald Trump, from my observation, is more deeply religious today than he has been the rest of his life. I think he's found God and is really a religious man today, believes in God deeply, and I think Jesus Christ, and I think he's trying to do the right thing. And that's why he's putting up with all this political pressure, because like me, I think Donald Trump's faith and belief in America and belief in God sustains him.
Well, it's just been stunning to hear some of the things out of his mouth. We haven't heard stuff like that since from a president, since Jefferson. I mean, our God-given rights, our republic, all that. It's stunning. Jerome, it's stunning your stand in your new book, Silent No More. Check it out on Amazon. Thank you so much, Jerome, for your time. God bless you, my friend.
God bless you. My great pleasure. Thank you.